Thank you, praise team. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now as we open your word and we see into the hearts and the minds of faithful women, Lord, as we celebrate this Mother's Day, Lord, for the ladies that you have put into our midst that have not only given us life, but have raised us and have helped us through many hard times. Lord, whether they be mothers, wives, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, if your spirit is within them, they are truly examples of what godly people can and should be. And Lord, we thank you for their influence in their lives, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, usually on Mother's Day, preachers, not all of them, but most of them, will go to the chapter in the Bible that talks about a virtuous woman. It's usually Proverbs 31. And I know just about every Mother's Day I've preached out of that. But I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I want to preach out of 2 Kings chapter 4 and also a little bit out of the book of Acts. So we're going to be talking about what a faithful woman is, and we're going to use three examples of the faithfulness of women in the Bible to show us how a woman's virtues and her godly characteristics should not only be mentioned but should be celebrated when we encounter them in our lives. You know, I had several examples of godly women in my life. And this morning, we were talking about Sunday school teachers. And I remember a little lady that taught me when I was in Sunday school. Her name was Miss Susan Sutherland. And she was not only my Sunday school teacher, she was my training union. How many remember training union? Okay. She was my training union teacher, and she was also my Bible school teacher for the three years where I was at Leesburg Baptist Church. And under her teaching and also the Bible school and the pastor there, I came to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when I was 10 years old. Now, have I lived up to that standard? Well, we're all sinners. And we all make mistakes. And we all sometimes get selfish and we start following our own paths. But godly women have a way of bringing us men back into the right frame of mind. And sometimes they do it with love and compassion and mercy. And sometimes, as my grandmother did, they take a wooden spoon to you. Okay? But the point is, it was godliness that I remember out of many ladies. So we're going to be talking about that. I want you to turn to your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to have two sections there. First, we're going to go through 1 and through, let me make sure I got this, 7. And we're going to be talking about a lady there that showed several godly virtues. This 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Okay, here we go. One of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, has died, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. Now the creditor is coming to take my two children as his slaves." Elisha asked her, "What can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Now, I've heard many preachers try to put a lot of things about the oil itself, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. Continuing with verse 3, "Then he said, 'Go out and borrow empty containers from all your neighbors. Do not get just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all these containers. Set the full ones to one side.' So she left, and after she had shut the door behind her and her sons, they kept bringing her containers, and she kept pouring. When they were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another container.' But he replied, 'There aren't any more.' Then the oil stopped. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on the rest.'" Now, that may just seem like a story of a poor woman who got caught with bad finances because her husband put her into debt. But there are many virtues that we can see here that this woman practiced. You know, a godly woman exercises wisdom, humility, and virtue. Here we see this displayed by this widow of one of the sons of the prophets. Now, what that was and what I've tried to discover was the sons of a prophet was kind of like a school where the older prophets would teach the younger men and they would be able to go and know the word of the Lord and know the prophecies. So this husband of this woman was one of those. He was in school. I don't want to call it a seminary, but that's kind of what he was in. However, he died. And apparently, he had put them into a great amount of debt. Now, we don't know the circumstances. The Bible doesn't reveal that to us. But the woman did say, "The creditors are coming, and they're going to take my two sons away to make them slaves so to pay back the debt. Now, remember, this is in time before Social Security and before all this stuff. The sons were the only livelihood that this woman had. It would be the only way that she would be taken care of. She'd be cast out on the street. And obviously she didn't want that, but I think it shows that she cared more about her sons because she didn't want her sons put into slavery. Because of the decisions that her and her husband, especially her husband, had made. Now, there are a few things we can tell from the Scripture about this woman. And she's unnamed, so I'm just going to keep calling her this woman. First of all, she's a widow. She's in dire straits. Okay? Second, her husband was one of the sons of the prophets, as we already mentioned. He was a godly man. In fact, she told Elisha, he feared the Lord. Now, isn't that one of the greatest things that you can be said about if you are a Christian? He feared the Lord. I don't understand why I don't see that on more tombstones. You read all these kind of nice flowery epitaphs and what should be said, whether this person feared the Lord or not. Of course, if he did, it's just going to be a rental and it won't make that much difference. But it's an important thing to be known by that reputation, whether you fear the Lord or not. And she was the mother of two who was desperate to keep them from slavery. Now you imagine with your children, you don't want bad things happening to them. I mean, I've joked with my daughter, I'd fight lions and tigers and bears and IRS agents and the whole defense of the Kansas City Chiefs to keep her safe. God willing, it's never going to come to that. But that's what I feel because she's my daughter and I love her and I want her to take care of her. How much more parents feel for their sons and their daughters? They don't want them, so this woman want them to be in danger. So this woman was desperate to keep her children from slavery. And she knew Elisha. She knew a prophet of God. Now this might be through the connection from the sons of the prophets. We read a couple of other episodes in the books of Kings where Elisha and Elijah, I think once or twice, but mostly Elisha, had dealings with the sons of the prophets. And she knew he was a man of God. So what did she do? She ran to the man of God. How many of us run to God? How many of us run when things are desperate instead of, well, I gotta figure this out. I gotta come up with something. No, it is God who gives you wisdom. And it is God who helps you through those times. He may give you the idea, but how do you know unless you ask him? Because I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you try to rely on yourself, it ain't going to work out very well. And we need to remember that our pride sometimes gets in the way of us going to God and asking in humility for wisdom and action that He will do. And then we know that her husband had put him in debt. Now, we are all in debt in some fashion or form today. We're in debt to banks for our homes, for our cars, for our farms, for our houses. We're just all kind of things we're in debt for. But I'm going to tell you what, imagine if you went into debt and you didn't pay. They didn't have a bankruptcy court or they didn't have anything like that. The creditors were coming after you. And if they had to take people, they would take people. Imagine that. Imagine the harshness of that existence, that life. And yet that is the world they were in. And lastly, she chose to trust in and obey God. So she went to the man of God as an intercessor. What can I do for you? The prophet said. And then he said, without waiting for an answer, what do you have in your house? She said, well, I got a jar of oil. So he gave her a plan. And it's just like many plans we hear today. People tell us, well, you need to do this, this, this. And we're like, what? That doesn't make any sense to me. Well, of course not. But your sense got you in the place you'd start with. So sometimes we need to rely on those things that sound outlandish but are based in trust and obedience to the Lord. So he told her, go out and get all the jars you can find. And we're not talking about little old mayonnaise jars here, folks. We're talking about those big old double-handled jars that they used to keep wine and oil in. And they got all they could find. And he said, go in your room, you and your sons, and you start pouring the oil. And don't stop till you run out of jars. And so that's what they did. And the minute she said, give me another jar, and he said, we don't have any left, the oil stopped. God provided just what they needed, just enough. And then the man of God told the lady, you go and sell this oil. Now, oil was expensive. It wasn't like you have a machine press. This is the time where you had those little people up and down on their feet and in those big wooden presses Imagine the oil. It took a lot of effort. It cost a lot of money. But it was a daily thing. It was not only for their cooking. It was for their medicine. It was for all kinds of things, for their anointing, everything. So she went in. She poured the oil. The oil came out until they ran out of jars. And then the lady trusted the word of God and obeyed and sold it. And when they sold it, she had enough, according to the word of the prophet, to pay off all their debts and to have the rest to live on. Now that was a mighty act of God. And something so simple as pouring oil from a jar. And it just didn't stop. But we see the godly characteristics of this woman and all that. First of all, she used her resources well. She used that jar of oil that God had gave her in obedience to what the prophet had told her. And it just kept going and kept going. Do you use what God has given you? Ladies, do you use the resources that God has provided to you through whether it be your own efforts or through your husband or through whatever means? Do you use them well and for His glory? We must, men and women, we must do this. We must use our resources well, whatever they may be. And then she showed a virtue by going to God in her need. Now, yes, she did go through an intercessor, and that would be Elisha. But how many times have you asked somebody to pray for you or to help you? Isn't that going through an intercessor also? And we're not talking about confession of sins and all that stuff. We're talking about simply there was a need. She went to someone she knew was a man of God. We can go through a man of God or a woman of God. And they can pray for us, and God will give us wisdom and strength and possibly the solution to the question that is at hand. But to be that kind of person, to go to God in your need, that is a godly trait. Prideful people don't do that. Now, prideful people might say, well, if you can help me, you can help me. Fine. If not, that's fine too. Or they can say, I can figure this out. No, a godly woman, a godly person, kneels before the throne and lays their supplication, lays their petitions, lays their request at the feet of the throne. And we do that through Christ Jesus. We cannot go before the throne of God outside of Christ. You did not go into the tabernacle. You did not go into the temple, Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt among the cherubim without the intercession of a priest. And Jesus is our high priest. And when we go to the throne of God, we go through Him. And godly women know this. I remember my grandmother praying over and over about things, about family problems, about work problems. Even I had her praying, heard her praying over a corn patch one time. She had planted a garden and all the corn had come up, but it was stringly and not very good. The ears were very small, and she would get out there and she would pray over that corn. Now, I wish I could say all the ears turned into popcorn and everything came out. You know, I don't know, but we had corn that fall. A godly woman and a godly man go to God in their need. And another characteristic, they remain obedient to God. Whatever God instructs them to do, they remain obedient. The prophet said, do this, get the jars, fill the oil, sell it, and the woman did it. And every implication is, because it's nowhere listed, everything worked out for this lady because she remained obedient. How many times, brothers and sisters, have we had a problem? Have we had something that troubled us and tried us and we went to God, but we didn't wait on God. We didn't listen to God. We didn't obey Him when the answer finally came because we didn't want to do what He told us to do. Or we didn't think that was the right thing to do. Sometimes we go on our own and mess things up. One of the best examples is Abraham and Hagar. I won't go into that, but I'm just saying sometimes when you try things on your own, the implications last a long time. Go to God and be obedient to God. So we see in this lady, the godly woman, she used her resources, she goes to God, and she remains obedient. Now I want to introduce the second woman. We got three ladies here today. This lady is called a Shunammite lady. Okay, and 2 Kings 4, verses 8 through 10. Now, there's a lot more after that about this lady, but we'll kind of hit that. But I want to specifically, 2 Kings 4, 8 through 10. And it says this. One day Elisha went to Shunem, a prominent woman, or a great woman, some translations say to this means this lady was up in society. She had a big status, she was probably wealthy, and she had a lot of influence on people. A prominent woman who lived there persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. Now that proves that Elisha was a Baptist. No, I'm kidding. One day Elisha went to Shunem. A prominent woman who lived there persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. Then she said to her husband, I know that the one who often passes by here is a holy man of God. So let's make a small walled-in upper room and put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp there for him. Whenever he comes, he can stay there. So we have a different godly woman of a higher social status that shows her godliness by doing something for the prophet of God. Now she wanted to do these following things. First, she wanted to honor God by providing for his servants. That's the food and shelter. Because she said, he is a holy man of God. She recognized this. And she understood that by blessing a minister of the gospel, well, of course it was Judaism then, I don't want to call it the gospel, but the word of the Lord, she would be blessed. Now, you notice, she had to talk her husband into it. And we'll get into that in just a minute. She wanted to honor God, and she convinced her husband to do good. Men, I'm telling you, one of the best things that God gives us is a godly woman that will push us or strengthen us and remind us who we are, whom we serve, and what our purpose here is on earth. Godly mothers, godly grandmothers, and godly wives do this. When a man messes up whatever he may say or do or whatever, it is a godly virtue that the wife, the mother, the grandmother will push them in the direction of God. That's a blessing. Sometimes we think it's not. I can remember my granddad. My grandfather gave land for a church to be built on back in the late 60s, and it was built. My grandmother, the same lady I was talking about the corn, imagine a Baptist Aunt Esther, if you remember Sanford and Son. Okay? She would be in church on Sunday morning. If you wasn't there, she would call you Monday morning to make sure you all right, which is great. But if she caught you in the Piggly Wiggly on Monday morning, she was going to let you know you should have been in church. If you're well enough to shop for groceries on Monday, you were well enough to be in church. Now that didn't endear her to a lot of people. Didn't endear her to her pastor when she called him on a Saturday night at the movie show, but that's another story completely. The thing is, she cared enough about God's people and God's house to want to make sure that they understood where their right place was to be in God's house when it was called for. It drove my grandpa crazy. But you know, she kept him in line, and he was in church every Sunday morning. Now, that being said, we do not read in this part that she had any children. Now, she would have a child shortly, and I'll explain that in just a minute. And for her kindness, she was granted a son by God. Now, what does that mean? If you read on down in 2 Kings 4, the Shunammite woman did all these good things for Elisha, and Elisha wanted to bless her. So he asked his servant what this woman needed, and he was like, well, she doesn't have a son. So he told the lady that God was going to give her a son, and he gave it, and the son grew. Now, unfortunately, sometimes later, he was going out with his dad into the field, and he started complaining of a headache. And by the time they got him to the house, the young man dropped dead. Now we can relate to that on so many levels. But you know, God was not through. God wanted to show his power through this godly woman. So what happened? This godly woman saddled up a donkey, and she rode out to find Elisha. And she chased him, and he was like, what do you want me to do? And she was like, I didn't ask you for a son. I didn't ask God for a son. And you give me one, then you take him away. And she stayed with Elisha constantly. So finally, Elisha went back to the house. And we know the story where he went up to the room. He run everybody out. He laid down on top of the child, and the child's eyes started blinking, and the child was raised back to life and joined her mother. Joined his mother, excuse me, it was a son. You see, her son died, and she went to find Elisha. That's persistence. That's, I know God will help me. You remember, they were dealing with intercessors, with priests and everything, so she knew she had to go to the prophet for this to be done. And then her faithful led to Elisha raising the child back to life. Now that's, all that story is verses 21 through 37 in 2 Kings 4. Now I want us to see the following traits in this woman, the Shunammite woman. First, she was God-honoring. She wanted to honor God. She wanted to take care of the servants of God. She wanted to get her husband and her to make this so she would be blessed. Because she honored and loved and feared the Lord. And then, next, she wanted to give what she had for God's purposes. She wanted to give part of her home. She wanted to give a bed and a lamp and food. She wanted to take care of the prophet when he was in their neighborhood. As I've seen neighborhoods where if they knew a preacher was coming in, they'd have armed men standing on the corner. In some of our homes, when we're going through something and a preacher comes to visit and try to pray and try to counsel, we are mad at God, so we show our anger to the preacher because we dare not show our anger to God. No, but God's servant and messenger. It will happen. But also, miracles will also happen. And the people that love God, that trust God, whether the preacher's there or not, they will be blessed when they trust and obey what God has commanded them through His Word and through His servants. And then in verse 13, we don't really read it in the verses we had, but she remained humble. Elisha was like, should I speak to the kings or the governors for you? And she said, look, I dwell in my own people. That's the way saying, you know, I'm lowly. I'm not really wanting, you know, to be that. She was already prominent. She was already a great woman, but she didn't want a big fuss being made, and that shows her humility. And that's a wonderful thing for a godly trait. And then she received the blessings when they come. When the son was born, she received that, and she received him back when he was raised back up. She was not saying, I don't want it, God, you've hurt me, and I don't want it. No, she received what God was giving her. That is a trait of a godly person. And lastly, and this is my favorite one, she was persistent in calling upon the man of God. She was persistent. Persistence sometimes can be called nagging. But if you take it with the heart of God, if you take it as God meant it from a godly person, I'm not talking about just any old nagging, I'm talking about with someone who loves God and wants you to love God and wants you to honor God and wants you to be what God has called you to be. That, brothers and sisters, is persistence, not nagging. Persistence. And that is a godly trait that we all should have. Because through a fervent prayer, it avails much, the book of James tells us. A righteous man, his fervent prayer. That means he keeps going, he keeps praying, he's persistent. Remember the parable about the unjust judge. He said, because this lady keeps bothering me, I'm going to give her what she wants. Now, God is not unfaithful like that judge, but that was to show that even unsaved, ungodly people, if you keep on them enough, they're eventually going to give in. That doesn't sound very well coming from a preacher, but that's true. When you in your persistence continually pray, continually go to God, continually trust Him, continually obey Him, continually shine your light, show your life, do the things God has called you to do. That persistence will show people that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, whether you're male or female. But it's so good to picture a godly mother, a godly woman, a godly grandmother, a godly great-grandmother. We got any great-grandmothers in here? All right. Way back there, here you go. I was not going to use one of these, let's close our eyes and bow our head and nobody look. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to ask you, you know, godly women, what a wonderful thing God has put in our lives through these things that they show, these characteristics. And I'm going to break them down into seven. We've already talked, but I want to recap it. First, a godly woman. And when I say godly woman, these traits also go toward men, but I'll save the manly stuff for Father's Day, okay? We'll get into that then. But a godly woman is God-honoring. Ladies, do you honor God in your life? You should. I would argue you must. If you are a child of the King, you must honor your King. If you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and loved you enough to send His only begotten Son to the cross for you, you should honor Him. And always. Now, are we going to always be walking around with a halo on our head? No, that's not going to happen. But every chance you are given, honor God. Honor Him with everything you are. So that's God honoring. Second, you go to God in your need. Ladies, go to God first. Don't go to your checkbook. Don't go to your psychic advisor. Don't go to anything other than God. Because He is the one that controls the entire universe. Do you realize that just with a word, He brought the universe out of nothing, and just with a word, He can send it back? Now, He's not going to do that because the Bible tells us what He's going to do. But He is an omnipotent King Father. And you can go to Him anytime you need something. And then you must be obedient to the Word and to the law of God. Now, if you're in Christ Jesus, you keep the law through Christ. So I'm not talking about legalism here. But your obedience, you must be aware of. Is it what you're doing? If you have the choice and you realize this would honor God, but this is not, but I might get more stuff out of this if I don't do it. You honor God by your obedience. And when you do that, you show an example to not only your children and your grandchildren, but to everyone that is around you. If you honor God and obey Him, and then you are a good steward of what you have been given, ladies. A wonderful steward. I know some ladies that will keep everything and anything because they have a purpose for it. I don't know. Somebody laughing back there? Somebody must know something. The preacher must have stepped on right there for a second. My grandma used to keep grease in a can because grease was expensive. Now, I know it's not healthy, but it would be bacon fat and lard and all that kind of stuff. And she would use that over and over until you couldn't use it anymore. Why? Because it was too expensive. She used her oil well. And there are resources that God gives you. Your time, your talent, your abilities. And He wants you to use them. He wants you to use them in a God-honoring and Christian edifying way. If He calls upon you to do something and you're equipped to do that, then do it. If He calls on something and you're not equipped, then ask Him to equip you. And He will do it. Why? Because you have to be a good steward of what God has given you. And then, for a godly woman, you must share what you have been given to advance the kingdom. Now, with the Shunammite woman, it was a little room that the prophet of God could rest in and eat on his travels. What is it in your life? What is it that you can give or share to advance the kingdom? Well, we have the top three, your money, your time, and your talent. I understand that. Okay, and that's true. There's nothing wrong with sharing any of that. But there's also other little things. And what are those other little things? It's person dependent. God may call you to do something a little bit different than brother or sister over here. And when you do that, you're showing your faithfulness, your obedience, your love, your mercy, your gratefulness to God Almighty. It's a wonderful thing to share. And then you remain humble, but persistent. We have to remain humble, men and ladies alike. But ladies, be persistent. Sometimes us men, we can get a little hard-headed. Can I hear an amen? I was expecting the ladies. I heard more men say amen there than the ladies. Sometimes we need that little push. Sometimes we need that little nudge. But at the same time, we must remain humble before God. So ladies, do that. And you will not only help your husband or help your children, you will help all those around you when you're persistent in your relationship with God. And then you receive the blessings and reward that God gives you with thankfulness. You're thankful to what God has given you. You're thankful for the day you have, the breath you breathe, and the eternal rest that you will receive one day. It's an amazing thing. Most of the godly women that I've known have been older. There are some exceptions. But they were looking so forward to what God was going to do once they slipped this mortal coil, as Shakespeare liked to say. You know, looking over the river is something that I've had the pleasure of experiencing when I was a paramedic. And I remember this godly woman, and I've spoke of her, and she was dying, and she knew she was dying. But she was having a conversation with Jesus in the back of that ambulance. And I'm telling you, there was three of us in there. and every hair on my body was standing straight up, and I was sitting bolt right, and this lady was talking and laughing and singing, and by the time we got to the hospital, just before we pulled in, she asked me if it was okay for her to go. And I said, "Ma'am, where are you going?" She said, "Well, I'm ready to go with Jesus. Can I go?" Have you ever been asked by somebody if it's okay for to go with Jesus? I'm getting goosebumps right here thinking about it. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, if he's called you, you go." And I just offhand, I said, and speak a good word for me. And then she said, this was a little old, almost 108-year-old African-American lady. She said, "Child, he already knows you." And it was that day that I decided to follow the path I'm on now. And it was a godly woman that I never met before in my life that told me that Jesus knew me. I'd heard that my whole life. I'd heard that from preachers and parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins and people in Sunday school. But it never, other than just blind faith, it never hit home. But there was a woman, a godly woman, who was about to pass into eternity, and she looked at me and she said, "He knows who you are." That is a godly woman. And that lady, she honored God. She went to God on her knee because she was about to pass away, and she was obedient to the word. She was a good steward. I knew that because her family told me that. She shared what she had with all of her family. She was big in her church. She remained humble, and she received the blessing and her final reward with thankfulness. Now, that's not the third godly woman. The third godly woman is out of the New Testament, Acts 9. Starting at 36:42. If Jesus said that you would know His disciples by their fruit, these are the kind of fruits, along with mercy, love, forgiveness, and self-control, etc., that show a woman, and a man for that matter, is a true follower of Christ. That means along with faith, repentance, etc. The godly woman was named Tabitha, or, which being translated, means Dorcas. You've probably heard either one. And she had passed away. And all the widows that were around her wailed because she had made them garments and gowns and all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden they heard that Peter was in a town over. And they said, "Well, if we just go get Peter, everything will be all right." Again, an intercessor. Coming from their background, their Jewish background with priests and things like that, they went to an intercessor. Well, her godly character, Dorcas's godly character, was shown in her benevolence toward those around her. She loved them and she helped them. And I might be as bold to say she showed many, if not all, of the traits we mentioned from the Old Testament ladies we just talked about. And Peter came, and he, as Elisha did with the Shunammite woman's son, he looked at her and he said, "Arise." And she woke up from the dead and she arose. You know, it is the power of God working through His Son, His Spirit, and His people that bring people right back to life. And whether we're talking about, I used to say when I was a paramedic, people say, "Well, we can't raise the dead anymore." And I said, "Sure, I've done it 12 or 13 times. Clear!" You know. But you know, that's me being joked. You know, I've seen people who were dead in their trespasses and sin, who were dead to everyone around them, who were dead to everything that is good and holy in this world. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came to them and they said, "I want to follow Jesus. I want a new life." And He did it, and He raised them from the dead when they were dead in their trespasses and sin. And the new life that they had is greater than anything they had before and anything we can imagine. So ladies, let me leave you with this. To be a godly woman is to be a witness in this world of a great and mighty God. Go where He goes. Do what He says do. Learn and relay the knowledge that God gives you to all that God brings in your path. Show the world that you are a daughter of the great King. If you are a child of God, never let anyone put you down because you are a daughter of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And when you know that, you will live like it. Be a daughter, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a teacher, a friend that God calls you to be, armed with the virtues of a godly woman. Because no matter what evil befalls, a godly woman will persevere and show the love of God to those around her. You are a child of God. Let no man put you down. You are a child of the Most High, and our great Father will not let His daughters be mistreated very long. Bad things happen, yes. But God will get you out of it. If you are a man, and you have a mother, a wife, or a daughter that you love with all your heart, then you have a slight amount of knowledge for the love of God has for His daughters. Like I said, I'll address the manly things on Father's Day. But a virtuous woman, who can find? She is more precious than any rubies. I said I wouldn't go to Proverbs 31, but I just did. You know, God gives it to you, you got to say it. You know, this day belongs to the Lord. But we have set it aside to honor our mothers and the ladies in our eyes. And you should be. Because after all, you are our noble royal members of the household of God. You never forget that. And never let any man or woman or anything else tell you otherwise. Brothers and sisters, a good woman, a noble woman, carries the name of her father and king wherever she goes and in whatever she does. God bless all of you mothers out there and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. And daughters, and wives, and sisters. God bless each and every one. Praise team. One of the things of God is we humble ourselves. So if anyone would like to come speak to me or say a prayer, whatever, please feel free. Or you can feel free to do that where you are. Just remember, ladies, even though we may not say it as often as we should, us men, we love you. And we thank God every day for you. Never forget who you are, Christ Jesus.